Hey everybody, welcome back to another breakdown, another week. I'm Luke, and today I'm joined by someone making their first time appearance on the breakdown, but he is very involved with the breakdown because every breakdown that you've listened to, he has touched it, he has uploaded it, he has made it sound wonderful. And so I just want to welcome Dave LeBeau to the studio today.
Hey everybody.
Welcome. So what do you do here at the church? We see you all everywhere. We see you with the cameras. We see you. I just see you all over the place. What is it that you do?
Yeah. So I am the IT and production director here. I oversee the media team. So that's the live stream, any videos taken, anything you see up on the screens, the lighting, everything on a Sunday morning. Production wise, I handle that, and as well as IT. Computers, internet, everything that you see or that you actually get to use while you're here, anything technology based, that's what I do. And then, as always, with just about any other job description, it's other tasks as needed, which there's a ton of those too.
There really is. This is a very big machine that we are privileged to be part of. And I just want to honor you for your servant's heart. I just see you serving everywhere and even outside of his job. Because what Dave explain to you, like, that's his job, that's what God's called him to do and what God's allowed him to do. He does that during the week and on Sundays, but Dave also helps in other ministries as well. I've seen him help with Crown Kids, with different youth events, and then you and your son are also involved with Trail Life, right?
Correct. Yep.
And just for people who don't know what Trail Life is, could you just tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Trail Life is it's essentially like a Boy Scouts. Other people who have been in church, you know, might know Royal Rangers or Awanas.
Yep, I did that. Yeah.
It's kind of that thing. It's tailored. The big thrust of that is fathers and sons. And anywhere there's a son that doesn't have the father, we'll bring them in. And
oh, it's that's so great.
That type of relationship.
Okay.
That they're looking for. And it's all outdoors and, you know, camping, ropes. Mm-hmm. All sorts of things, just life skills that you might need out in the wild or just in your normal day-to-day stuff.
Cool.
So it's really cool. They go through a lot of things, whether it's a physical thing, but they also go into almost sometimes some heritage studies, going back into, you know, presidents and leaders and, you know, the big players in history. They teach on that as well.
That's awesome. And that's a newer ministry to our church, right? Within the last year, I'd say.
We just finished up our first year, and we're actually right now we're starting up our second year in September, and we have a meeting coming up next, not next week, but the week after, the 26th, for an informational meeting. So if you're interested in that, you should come on out. It's the 26th or the 25th.
It should be in the announcements. Right?
But it'll be in the announcements. You'll see. Cool. It's I think it's a Wednesday night, and that's when we meet, is every Wednesday night. So come on out, check out what it's all about, and see if it's for you and your son, or if you want to be a part and, you know, partner in. Maybe you're a little older, or your kids are older and beyond the high school age, but you want to help out. We have a lot of guys that do that as well.
So it goes all the way through high school.
All the way through. So okay. K-12.
K-12. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. I mean, it sounds super interesting to me. I would love to be involved, but I cannot add another thing to my plate.
Absolutely.
But maybe someday in the future. Thanks for sharing about that. So coming into Sunday, we had Pastor Scott Axman from Renaissance Church. It's over in Providence. Really wonderful church. I love it when he shares, and he's no stranger to our church.
Absolutely not. No, he's a big friend of a lot of the people on staff here. I had a chance actually to help lead worship at his church a while back. I had a buddy who was had to put together a team and do a worship set there. And it's just the sweetest environment there. Like everything you see about him is all over that church. And a big push, at least at the day I was there, they had a big thing where, like, once service was over, they kind of went and, like, everybody was encouraged to go off and pray, not just leave and go or just fellowship. But they had specific rooms for specific things if it was like something a little more personal and you didn't want anybody to hear, but then you could go to different parts of the sanctuary and just pray. It was a really different way about closing out a service. And it was just really neat and very sweet, awesome environment where it was just like very relaxed. And again, everything you hear in his voice and his tone and his tenor, and it's all there, and it was really nice.
Right. And that's what I'm hearing from you sharing that story, is he's not just preparing a message that he feels is nice, or even just like is from the Lord for us, but it's something that he himself lives.
Absolutely.
And you could hear that when he started the message and he was talking about how when he was first saved and he read that, he found that book and he was reading about all these great men of God throughout time. And I loved how he mentioned people from the Bible, but then also people from you know, American revivals, and then, you know, Charles Spurgeon, and how they were so devoted to a life of prayer and intimacy with God. And that it drove them and it propelled them. And, you know, when I hear those stories, I was just re-listening to the message on my way over, and there's something like, I was like, how come like I'm not like that? Like, I want to be like that. And I feel like I've grown, but it's like such baby steps. And it's like, there's so much more of a distance to go to get to that point where like Charles Spurgeon, where he's like, people had to carry him in to preach the word because he was so drunk in prayer.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's a lot harder nowadays. There's so much more distraction around us. You know, Tozer didn't have to worry about Facebook, Instagram, and all those other things pulling his attention somewhere else.
But
it's really up to us. We have to make that time. We're the ones that have to be diligent to making space for that, whether it's, you know, cutting certain things out of our lives or just finding that time to be with the Lord and spend that time instead of just being so busy. I mean, we even talked about it. You can be busy doing stuff for the Lord and it's all great. Mm-hmm. It's fruitful and you're pouring into the lives of kids or whatever it is you're doing. And it's awesome. But if you're not making time for the Lord to get closer to him, you'll never get one. If you're trying to attain that type of intimacy with him, where you're just like flat out and you need to be taken out on a stroller or something. If that's what you're looking for, you have to make big cuts in your life to get there and remove a lot of distraction away from your life. And it takes a lot more than just like, well, I really want that.
Right. We have to actually go after it. Now, you were raised in a Christian home, right?
Yes.
So how did prayer look like for you and your family growing up?
It was a big part of our lives. I mean, obviously the normal, you know, around the dinner table before bed. And, my mom was a big part of my Christian walk. My dad was there. I don't want to put him down, but my mother was just always big on that. She was the one to constantly ask you, like, where's your walk? How's your walk going? How are you in the Lord? And prayer was huge. It was a big part of what we did in life, whether it was a bad circumstance or a great circumstance, and just listening to the Lord and what he wanted us to do. We didn't come from a lot of means, but the Lord was always telling our family, okay, we need to bless these people. We need to do this. We need to do that. And regardless, we would go and do it. And so, you know, it's a prayer life and it's being communion with him, but also like then being obedient after that as well.
Right. So when did you come into that place of intimacy? Or because I know for me, I was also raised in a Christian home and it was very similar. Like, we always prayed before meals. Mom and dad would pray for us before bedtime. So the idea of talking to God was always present, and that God is the person that I bring my answers to, about my questions to for answers. But I think the growing in the intimacy part for me took more time, and that happened more through, I would say, high school into college. Where would it have happened for you, or were you very young when you started to really connect to God that way?
No, I would definitely say it's the same, probably around high school, after high school into college is where that really kind of blew up. And that was more, I had a buddy who went away to college, kind of came back and was like back and forth a lot. And one of the things he took with him back from one of the schools he went to was just a prayer time in the morning. Like, and he tried to do it, you know, every day during the week. And then it was like a lot for people, but it ended up just being like four of us.
Yeah.
Just kind of hanging out in our old youth room and just praying at like 5 o'clock in the morning before everybody had to go to work. We would make it, you know, a thing that we get there. And that was really where it became a little more personal and deeper, where it was like, okay, no, we're setting aside this time and this is what we're doing. And we're going to go after whatever the Lord wants and not just like, oh, like we're going to bring our burdens and bring all our stuff. We're just going to sit in silence and listen. And see where the Lord takes us, similar to how a prayer might go on Tuesday night here. There it was kind of that same thing where don't come with an agenda, and just let's just talk to the Lord, just like he's right here in the room with us, which he always is.
Right.
And so that's where that, I would say, that started with a true just communion time with the Lord, rather than, you know, just laying my burdens down or even just thanking him or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just like, let's treat him like he is our friend. Like, mm-hmm. we are walking through the Garden of Eden, what he wanted to begin with, and just treat it like that.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really, really good. Thank you for sharing that. You know, and Pastor Scott, before he started the message, he was talking about our church and what he loves about our church is that, you know, the presence of God is here. And I think you really touched on, well, how is it that, you know, the presence of God is here? It's because, you know, God is present everywhere. And I think anytime people gather together in his name, he is there. He says that. But I think we're not always focused in on his presence. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference. And I've only been at the church since 2021. And I've always seen that in our leadership and just everything that happens here. And is that, okay, we planned to come together, but Lord, like, what is it that you want to do? What is it that you want to say? And so we do it from this posture of humility and just surrendering our agenda to the Lord. And then his presence is there, but because we are posturing to receive it, we do receive what he has for us. And then people grow and people are changed, people are healed because we're giving room for the Lord to do what he wants to do. Now, how long have you been at the church? Because you've been here for a while.
So I've been at the church for, I think we're coming up on 6.5 or so years. Okay. At the church. Working for the church about 4.
Okay. And going back then, would you say like that was like that fabric was also in place in those early days as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. When we were looking for a church, I had grown up with everybody in leadership here, and it was almost like a goal of mine to just not want to be here. Mm-hmm. In the sense of, I just didn't want it to be, well, it's because it's comfortable and I know everybody and it's going to be an easy transition.
Right.
Our church had closed their doors and we were looking, and it was like my family was here. Everything was made sense. Just go there. And I was like really dead set on it, just not doing it. But you walk through the doors and it's not a sense of family in the sense of, yeah, I know these people, I'm comfortable, mm-hmm. whatever, but it's like, you're just welcome. There were people, faces I had never seen before in my life, and they're welcoming in with open arms and like already just wanting to dive in, like, who are you? We want to know you. Like, in a kind of a funny story, we were sitting at like a cafe. I was with my parents or whatever, and somebody who was I think they were the youth leaders at the time came over, and they were like really excited to see us and like, oh, let me introduce you to Ron, he's an elder here and all this stuff. And they were really excited. And Ron's like, she's going through this whole thing about who we are and all this stuff. And Ron's like, and he's like, I've known them like 30 years.
Awesome. Oh, that's wild.
It was hilarious, but it was that kind of presence, mm-hmm. there. And it wasn't because, again, it wasn't because they just wanted to be nice or whatever. It's like, they wanted us to know this is a place you're welcome. And this is where the Lord is.
Right.
And we're going to welcome him here. And the values of that presence is first, mm-hmm. is it's evident when you walk through the door, the Lord is here, and we're not going to, shave anything off of what he wants.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to do what he wants, whether that means that worship goes through the whole service and is an extra hour long. And at the time we had 2 services, and if it overlapped, who cares? Mm-hmm. It was great. And so I'm like, this is where I want to be. Not because, again, because it's familiar or whatever, but it's because this is where the Lord is welcome. Mm-hmm. The Lord is everywhere, but if we're not welcoming him, then we're just ignoring what he wants and we have our own agenda, and then there's nothing to it, and it feels it'll be dry.
Yeah. And so I think what we're hitting on is like, that's the mark of a healthy church, is a place where people come together to encounter the Lord, to have intimacy with the Lord. And then out of that intimacy, you have the natural byproduct of treating people the way Jesus wants us to treat them and wanting to welcome people in.
Absolutely.
So that to me, like, I'm just, that's really just being impressed on me, the importance of me having my own intimate walk with the Lord. Because when I think of the people in my life that I enjoy being around, a lot of them, they are very intimate with the Lord on their own. I'm thinking of like Pastor Wally, like when I talk to him and I can bring anything to him and he ministers to me, but he ministers not out of a place of just, you know, head knowledge, but I've walked this road. I know what it is to carry this to the Lord. And like, we can do this together now. So there's something about intimacy with the Lord that we are attracted to.
The closer you are to the Lord, the easier it is for him to come out of you. It's not, you know, again, you can have all the head knowledge in the world and you can have the facts of things. But to be able to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and to let him move through you, the closer you are to the Lord, the easier that's going to be, the more that's going to flow out of you. And you'll be that much more effective because you're speaking what he wants, mm-hmm. not just, okay, well, I've been through this, or I read that in the Bible and this kind of lines up with that. It's the Holy Spirit speaking right through you and knows all the details, even the things that person didn't tell you.
Yeah.
And now you're speaking to things that you don't even know where it's coming from.
Amen.
But you're speaking exactly what the Lord wants to that heart, that person.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just thinking about what Paul's saying too. It's like we comfort with the same comfort that we have received. Mm-hmm. And I've definitely experienced that in my life. As I've grown in the Lord as I have received his healing, it's like I can now be that vessel of healing to others. And I can see how my intimacy with him drives me to see people differently and situations differently. So I just wanted to go over, because on Friday night at youth group, we actually were talking about prayer. And so there's a passage in Matthew, and it also comes up in Luke, but I'll read it from Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus talks about prayer and intimacy with the Father. Because back in that day, you had all these religious leaders and they would make a show of everything because it wasn't about a relationship. It was about it wasn't about intimacy. It was about practicing their righteousness and in front of people and letting people know how perfect they were. So Jesus says this in Matthew 6, starting in verse 5. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." That's always been one of my favorite passages of scripture. And you know, going back to being raised in church, you're raised seeing people pray. Mm-hmm. And I remember being a kid and it's like, oh, wow, that person prays really well. And then I would have to pray in front of people and it felt like every word was just, I'm tripping over words, nothing's coming out right. And it's like Satan planted a seed of, okay, so you're not as spiritual because it doesn't flow well. Mm-hmm. But when we look at what Jesus truly says about prayer, it's not about the words. It's not about it sounding perfect. It's not about the amount of words either. It's literally about the purpose of prayer is so that you can go spend time with your Heavenly Father. And that to me is just it's so revolutionary because it takes this performance piece out, which has been something that me personally, I've always fallen into that trap. Mm-hmm. It's hard because you get stuck in this rut of, I want to serve the Lord well, and I want to minister to people. I want to be a vessel of ministry. Mm-hmm. But you can easily fall in, at least I can fall into this trap of, okay, I want it to sound and look right. And it's mm-hmm. like, God, it's not about that.
Absolutely.
It's really not about that. And he doesn't want to lose that piece of intimacy with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. And when you get to that point where like you're constantly thinking about, well, how do I sound? How do I? You've now removed the God
right.
from
it's
your prayer,
exactly.
And you're just Exactly. You just want to sound good, like and make yourself look good, that you are that spiritual person is on a mountaintop all the time. And it's like, no, it's all about the heart of it.
Yep.
And that's really all it is. The Lord, I mean, so this is, it's a question that was posed to me once, is like, what's the point of prayer? Like, Lord, the Lord knows everything that we're going through. He knows all that we are going through and all that we want, not everything. So why do we need to pray? Why do we even need to talk to him in the first place? It's because he just wants to hear us.
Right.
He wants to be with us. He wants our undivided attention, and not to be worrying about, okay, well, how do I sound? Mm-hmm. Or am I so focused on this thing that I need or this problem that I need solved? No, he really just wants to spend time with you. He wants to hear his son's voice, his daughter's voice. And it's never been more evident when you have a kid. And there's certain things about kids growing up that like kind of hit you in the heart when they stop like asking you for certain things. In the moment, sometimes it gets a little annoying or whatever, I start missing it. And I'm like, you know, I miss the fact that they would always come to me for these things, because I could then, not only could I even provide for them in the need in the moment and satisfy whatever it is that they were looking for, but I just hearing their voice and the fact that they wanted to be with me for anything, whether it was something that was a task out of me to have to go up and get, I have to go get them a drink and I got to do whatever it is. They become all self-sufficient and I miss it. And so, yeah, in our walk, sometimes we feel like we're so self-sufficient and we can do these things on our own or whatever, but the Lord still wants us to bring them along with him. Mm-hmm. Or at least he's there. Again, we've discussed that. He's there. He wants to be welcomed into the process.
Right. Right. And, you know, we're talking about intimacy and intimacy with God, and we have to think of the relationship. Mm-hmm. It's the intimacy of a child and their father. And that's what God's after. And I think, and you were talking a little bit about this before, and if you don't mind just going into it, I think we can get stuck on the word intimacy. That can make some people uncomfortable.
Absolutely. So yeah, intimacy. This is for me, because it's how I looked at it. And like intimacy for me was like a physical relationship between you and your wife or you and your spouse. And it's not that. That's not what we're talking about. And I want to dispel that from anybody who's thinking about that and is going to a place where it's like, oh, this is getting weird.
Right.
It's not getting weird. It's just a place where it's only you and the Lord. Mm-hmm. Intimacy to me is seclusion of just you and that person. And when it's you and the Lord, you know, anything goes in the sense of vulnerability. You can be open with him. One, he already knows it. So you can be confessing and pouring out all these things. Again, he wants to hear, even though he knows it, he wants to hear your voice say it from whatever it is. And he wants to be with you, and whether it's a bad thing or a good thing. That's the way it is. And it's a closeness. It's a curling up into your father's lap and just being with him. That's intimacy. And you can have intimacy with people as well. That's not that type of physical thing. You can have a brother or sister in Christ that you could be that close with.
Right.
We like to put all these stigmas on it. And again, there's a fine line.
Yeah.
But you can have that type of relationship. When you look back in the Bible at David and Jonathan, their relationship might seem really awkward to you. But that's a closeness and an example of what the Father wants with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you look at what Satan has done, it's always to come between and separate. So he came between God and Adam and Eve because of their sin, literally separated them from that closeness. But then it also separated them from one another. So you can see that the enemy's plan is always to create this distance, to keep us focused on anything other than that core relationship. And that's what Jesus died for. And I think it's important that we just emphasize that right now, is because of the death of Jesus, that we can go right into the throne room now. So once you've accepted Jesus's gift of salvation, when you say, I repent of my sin and I accept the righteousness of Jesus and his death on the cross for my sin, that relationship is now restored. But then, you know, Scott, goes into these other things, that these obstacles to intimacy, and we have to work through them. You know, he says, some of you, it's like you've invited Jesus into the foyer of your house. Mm-hmm. And he brought up three obstacles. So the first one was sin. The second was shame. The third was damaged self-image. And I think sometimes we can look at working through these things as like, okay, this is the process of salvation, or I have to somehow let God in. And it's like, no, God is here, and he accepts you, but now just, you know, give him the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And understand that you're doing this from a place of, you are his child. It's not like you let him into the house to then become his child. He's like, no, you are my child. I want to come in. Let me go into all of the rooms. Mm-hmm. But I think it can be really hard because of that broken. I think one of the things that can get in the way is just our broken trust that we've had even with just human relationships. Mm-hmm. Because we don't want people to see the broken parts of us. Mm-hmm. We don't even want to talk about, you know, the sins that we've committed or even struggles that we've had in the past, even like after God's healed them. Sometimes I think we don't want to bring it up again because it's like, well, I don't know. I know God doesn't judge me for this, but this person, mm-hmm. they're going to remember, oh, that he used to struggle with X, Y, or Z. And now we don't want them to see ourselves that way. So it's that broken trust that I think can get, we can then put that onto God, especially if you haven't had good parents. That's definitely a difficult thing. And I've seen that mm-hmm. With people. You know, my parents, they were good, and like they didn't, their treatment of me never impacted, I don't think, how I saw God, which was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Because I know they both came from very broken homes. So, you know, like that's like an evidence of God's grace in our family, that they were able to, you know, point me and my sisters to God in a healthy way. But if you didn't grow up in a home like that, I can totally understand if hearing this idea of intimacy with your heavenly father, if that's hard for you, because you didn't receive that as a child. So what would encouragement would you say to someone who's feeling that way?
I keep getting brought back to, we're having a discussion about some other stuff in staff mm-hmm. lately. But one of the things is talking about trust, and that again, Satan has perverted trust into that trust has to be earned. But actually, trust in the way the Lord has set it up is that it's trust until you prove me otherwise. And so as we are looking at people or even the Lord and what we're doing, you can trust him right away. You can trust people right away. Don't let past experiences or even what somebody might be saying about them or whatever ruin that. Trust them first. Trust the Lord first, yeah. And let him try to prove you otherwise, because he's not gonna. You know you can trust in him at all times. Mm-hmm. And whatever you might have as an allegory for the Lord and what right. a father is in your right. life, God is far and above that, whatever
yes.
it is.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He is so much full of love that you can't even understand that. You know, again, your earthly father may have not done it right, even if they were still loving in some type of way. I mean, I come from a home that was, again, a Christian home that had loving parents. They didn't get it right all the time. They may be disciplined in a way that some others might not agree with. And even myself might not even agree with now and do the same thing with my kids. But I can't put that on God. Mm-hmm. I can't do it.
Amen.
It's going to get in the way of my relationship with him in any way that what, again, it's not like I have a hard relationship with my father now. But I know there's people out there that are, they don't talk to their parents. They don't, or they hate them in a way.
Right.
And they don't want anything to do with them. That's not what the father wants for you and them. And he definitely doesn't want that for you and him.
Right. And you know, that's some of, you know, looking at what Pastor Scott was saying, these different blockages, these different weights that we carry, this is what can get in the way of intimacy. Mm-hmm. Because we're still carrying all these things that Jesus says, hey, I paid for that brokenness. That burden you're carrying, that broken relationship, I paid for that. So mm-hmm. give it to me. And it really is like that. That's why, you know, at our church, like we talk, you might hear people talk about yielding or deliverance. It's like we're giving Jesus the junk that he paid for. Mm. And when we do that, that weight comes off of us. And Pastor Scott closed by challenging us to ask for a fresh revelation of God's love. Because really, that's what we need. You know, in one of John's letters, he says, perfect love casts out fear. Mm-hmm. And it's that simple. All that stuff we carry, that's fear. It causes us to be weighed down. It causes us to hide. But what is going to push that out is God's love. And so if you don't even, you might not even know, like, well, how do I give this to God? Just say, God, I don't know how to give this to you, but I know that your love casts out fear. So please fill me with your love. Mm. Well, it's been great having you. I hope you come back.
We'll see.
No, we'll see. It was
after the producer listens back.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see if you made the cut on his very critical list.
Yes.
No. Honestly, though, I you stuck out to me during worship on Sunday. Like I was looking over and like you were doing the camera, but you were also singing. And I just really was feeling like God's like pleasure for you and how he sees you. And he's so, he's just pleased with you as his son. And I just like, I was praying for you. And then this week, like you were just on my heart to have, in the studio today. So thank you for coming. Thank you for being willing to share with us.
I appreciate that, Kurt Luke.
Sorry. Oh, that is a compliment. Yeah. I will take that. I'll be confused with Kurt any day.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind, just close us in prayer. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for, your never-ending love, Lord. And despite how far away or close we get to you, Lord, you are still there through everything. And Lord, help us to find you in all those things, but also help us, just give us a desire to want to know you and be with you more, to spend more time in your presence through prayer, through worship. And just let us... just be attracted to that, Lord, and want to just go deeper and deeper and deeper, and not to have a shallow relationship with you, Lord, but that we would have a relationship that is, we know you so much, Lord, that you pour out of us in ways that we could never imagine, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, that your arms are always open and willing to take us, that your lap is always there for us to curl up in, Lord, and that we would get beyond the notions in our mind of what a father son or father daughter relationship is supposed to be, Lord, into what it is that you want it to be.
Yes, Jesus.
That it's a closeness that we don't even know, and even we could get to where we think we've been never been closer with anything, but you bring us closer and deeper and hug us harder and in ways that we could just never imagine, Lord. So Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time, and have your way in us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much. All right. And to everyone listening, have a great rest of this week, and we will see you on Sunday. Can't count on hope.